I invite you now to take your Bibles and turn together to Psalm 27. Psalm 27, a psalm of David. I'm going to read the whole psalm this morning, but our main focus is going to be on just one verse, verse 4. But I do want us to hear the whole psalm and consider that together. Psalm 27, once again, I'll read all 14 verses, but our main focus together this morning will be on verse 4. Please hear God's word of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger, O you who have been my help. Cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Let's stop and pray together. Father in heaven, we do pray that you would enable us to wait on you now as we hear your word together. Lord, teach us your way and lead us on a level path. Hide us in the shelter of your tent. You are our light and our salvation. You are our stronghold. And so we pray now that you would minister to us by your word. And through the working of your Holy Spirit, taking up the sword of the Spirit and working it in our hearts. Lord, we pray this all for your glory and for our good. In Jesus' name, amen. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. If there was one thing you could ask for, one thing you could pursue above all else in the coming year, what would it be? The new year is often when people refocus and come up with all kinds of new plans and new ideas and new goals. But what if there was a goal or a resolution that wasn't new, but was old, was always the same? It wasn't a fad or a good idea. It wouldn't come and go with each new year. But it was a constant overarching principle and pursuit, a singular focus that charted your whole course and your whole identity, your whole life, year after year. Well, according to Scripture, there is, there ought to be. And it's captured here in Psalm 27, verse 4. David, who pens the words of this psalm, had many responsibilities and many interests. He had a lot to do. He had a lot to learn. He had many, many needs. But he had a singular focus and a singular drive, one ultimate passion and direction that shaped all of his other pursuits and responsibilities. There was one thing he sought and he prayed for above all else: God. To be with God. To know and to love and to worship and to be sheltered by God, to be in his presence, to be in awe of God. That was the one thing, the one person, the one pursuit for David. Above all else, that is what he would ask for. That's what wouldn't change year to year. And that's what you and I should seek above all else as well. That is who you and I should pursue above all else. And that's the challenge and encouragement of Psalm 27 for us this morning. In the coming year, in every year, in every day of your life, brothers and sisters, young and old, pursue the Lord. Pursue God above all else. Pursue the person of God, the presence of God above everything else. Make him your one overarching pursuit and goal and focus, your highest good and your highest goal. Like David, pursue God above all else. Well, let's consider that theme together this morning from Psalm 27. And I want to do so under 3 points. We'll consider this morning one purpose, one prayer, and one pursuit. And so first of all, one purpose. Look again with me at verse 4. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. One thing, says David, one thing. One thing I want more than anything else. And actually, the word thing isn't even in the original. It's literally, I've got one request, one desire, one prayer, one purpose. What is it? What does David want? What do you want? What is your one pursuit? What is that one thing for you? Well, for David, it was God, the Lord. His deepest longing was for the Lord. What he asked for and sought above all else was to dwell in God's house, to gaze upon his beauty and inquire in his temple. David wants God himself, the living God, the God of Israel, the God of redemption and creation, Yahweh, the Lord. I am who I am. He wants to be near this God. He wants to dwell in his house all of his days. He wants to be in God's presence all of the time, in God's household, in God's family. He wants to see God and to know God, to gaze upon his beauty, to behold in wonder and amazement the beauty and glory of God, the goodness and grace of God, the sheer greatness of God. He wants to inquire in his temple. He has a healthy curiosity and longing to know him more, to meditate on him, to know his ways. In short, David wants God. He wants to see him and be with him, to know him and adore him and worship him and enjoy him for who he is. What about you this morning? Do you have that longing, that feeling, that hunger, this singular focus and drive? I wonder if some of you have perhaps experienced something similar, anticipating your wedding day. It was all you could think about. All you wanted was to be with your bride or groom-to-be, to see them, to gaze on their beauty, to know them more, to dwell with them. And that consumed all of your attention and focus. Well, that's what David is expressing here for the Lord. That's what Paul expressed in Philippians 3. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, counting everything else as loss. Who or what was David living for? The Lord. That was his singular focus. That was who he lived for. He wanted more of God. He was captivated and consumed with God. He was the one. Now, David understood that he could only dwell with God through Jesus Christ. He was a sinner. This was only possible through the coming Messiah and Savior. David was a sinner. He could not in and of himself dwell with the Lord. He could only gaze upon God's beauty if his sin was removed, if his blind eyes were opened. He could only have this purpose and this longing by the work of God's grace, by way of an atoning sacrifice. And David speaks of offering sacrifices in the temple in this psalm, looking forward to the ultimate sacrifice. And friends, the same is true for you and me. This can be our longing and our desire and our experience only through the Lord Jesus Christ, by faith in him. Through Jesus, you can make this one purpose a reality. Dwelling with God now and forever. Gazing upon his beauty. Knowing him more. Knowing him as your creator and your redeemer. Many of you might know the shorter catechism question and answer 1. What is man's chief end? What ought to be our top purpose here as human beings? And the answer to that is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. I think often we focus on the first part of that answer and forget that enjoying God, gazing upon his beauty, being with him, is part of our primary purpose. That's what we are made for. And it's what David is after here. He wants to enjoy God. Enjoy his person and his presence, his grace and his glory. When is the last time you could say that you simply enjoyed God? Who he is in himself, his beauty, his greatness, his characteristics, who he is and what he's done. This was David's top priority, his top person. And he wants him not in some mystic or vague way. He wants to know and see and be with God in concrete ways. By being in God's house, in the temple, in the place of public worship with God's people. He goes on in verse 6 to talk about that, offering sacrifices and singing. He spoke of it in Psalm 26, verse 8. O Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Do you and I want to worship God? to be with his people, with the church, the living temple, the dwelling place of God today? Do you want to because you want God and you want to be in his presence? You want to know him more and adore him and gaze upon his beauty, to be in his presence. This is what David was all about. This was his one overarching goal, his highest purpose. And this ought to be your one purpose as well. And this is why it was also, as we see here, his one prayer. Let's consider that second this morning. This was David's one prayer. Look again with me at verse 4. One thing have I asked of the Lord. One thing have I asked of the Lord. David doesn't just have a vague longing or goal to be with the Lord. He prays about it. He asks God for it. One thing I have asked of the Lord. His desire, his purpose translated to prayer. Because David believes in God. David knows God is real and powerful. He hears and answers prayer. And so he brings his desire. He brings his one highest purpose before the Lord in prayer. The Lord is his Father. The Lord is, as he said in verse 1, his light, his salvation, his stronghold. And so, of course, David would go to him and ask him in prayer to answer. And he does just that here in verse 4, but also in verse 7. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. And really, this whole psalm is a prayer. And it ends on a note of confidence that encourages believing and expectant prayer. In verse 14, wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. David has faith and courage. He's ready to wait on God, and so he prays. And he asks the Lord for this one desire. And realize that David was a man under great pressure. Things were not easy for him. In verses 2 through 3, he says there are evil adversaries surrounding him. There's war. There's armies literally encamped against him. And that was the case in his life literally many, many times. And yet he's not afraid. He's confident in God. He's calling upon God. David was in the midst of real life, real battles, real enemies, real difficulties, the difficulties of life. And he prayed and pursued God above all else. And friends, you and I are in the midst of real life as well. Yes, we are not on a literal battlefield. But think of all the various things that we face in real life. There are bills to pay, mouths to feed, work to be done, leaks to fix, fences to mend. There's homework. There are aches and pains. There's fatigue. Endless cares and concerns. Doubts, discouragement, sickness, aging. People, difficult people. Problems, besetting sins, temptations. The lure of the world. Our battle against Satan and his armies. And we could go on and on. But for David and for us, there is the Lord, a stronghold who towers over all of that, his light and his salvation with beauty unstained by the world, a God found by those who seek him, a God who satisfies and protects and saves, a God who comforts and cares. And because of all of that, there can be confidence and there can be joy. There can be this singular focus and prayer for God to give us himself, to be our God as he promised. Now, this purpose and this prayer of David may seem like an unattainable, lofty ideal, unrealistic in our busy, difficult, sinful lives. But it's not. David was a mere man just like us. He prayed to the same God who was the same yesterday, today, and forever. He asked God for what he wanted and needed. He asked God for himself. And friends, you and I need the Lord as well. You and I need to desire him above all else. And we need to pray like this. Do you pray this way? Do you ask the Lord to give you himself? James 4 verse 2 says, "You do not have because you do not ask." Perhaps we lack this drive, this zeal, this passion for the Lord because we do not ask for it. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 7 and following, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you." Friends, like David, Christ calls you to ask, to seek, to knock, to believe that the Lord will give and will answer. And so turn this one purpose into your one prayer. Make this your prayer. Well, third and finally, make this your one pursuit as well. We see that this was David's one pursuit, and I want to consider that third this morning. Look again with me at verse 4. "One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after." That will I seek after. Notice David doesn't stop short here. This is a full-out passion and pursuit for him. He's not content just to make this his purpose and to pray about it, but he says, "I'm going to seek after it. I'm going to pursue God." See, making this your purpose does not make it just happen. Good intentions and prayer are foundational, but they're not all. This must be sought. Intention and prayer must lead to action. And so he's resolved. He commits to seeking God. "I will seek." His purpose and his prayer moves him to resolute action, real, passionate action and pursuit. Listen to what verse 8 says. He says, "You have said, 'Seek my face.' My heart says to you, 'Your face, Lord, I seek.'" Now remember, David was not a Levite. David wasn't a priest. He didn't spend all of his days in the tabernacle. I think sometimes we can hear these words or words like this and think this pursuit is for people like David, for some elite class, for priests, for the religious, for the extra holy. Or we read this Psalm of David and we think, well, David was, he was extra spiritual. He was unique. He had a big heart. He was emotional. He was poetic. And that's just not really who I am. But we forget that David was a man just like us. Yes, he had unique gifts, and God used him in unique ways. But David was a real man. He was down to earth. He was once a shepherd who spent his days out in the wild with livestock. Then he was a soldier, a fugitive and a fighter. And then he became a king, a man of the court, a leader. He had a lot going on, a lot of passions and pursuits, a lot of responsibilities, a lot of gifts. But what defined him, what made him really tick above all was this one ultimate pursuit. He would seek the Lord. This captivated him and consumed him. This is what he was all about. He didn't do it perfectly. He had a big heart for God, but he had some big falls and some big sins. And yet this was his goal. And David actually gives us a glimpse into the heart of the greater Son of David, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you look at the life of Christ here on earth, his life was marked by this as well. This was his one pursuit. The perfect man, he pursued the glory and purpose of God above all else. That was his greatest passion and mission. Jesus had one singular purpose and focus and pursuit in life. And we see it here in David, the Lord. His gaze was fixed on him. His interest was on him more than anything else. And yet, as we think about our own lives, we so easily can become very distracted. And I think often we are a very distracted people. We have many different pursuits, and often the pursuit of God is not number one. It gets crowded out. But this was what David pursued above all else, and this is what God calls us to pursue above all else. Well, it's one thing to talk about it. It's one thing to be convicted that we ought to seek after God, that we need to repent for when we have not. But how? What does this look like? How did David do this? Well, our time is limited this morning, and this is a lifelong pursuit with no simple tricks or shortcuts, but I want to consider a few ways that we can seek this as David did, how we can pursue the Lord above all else. The first is to think. Think about what is true. When you stop and think about life, why you're here and what's really important, what lasts, who is important, how you really want to spend your days. When you think about these things, the pursuit of God comes more clearly into view. The things of this world that distract us and derail us are seen for what they are, and they're more easily put in their right place. This thinking must be shaped by the Word of God, having our minds renewed by God's will, not by the world's. If you want to pursue God above all else, take time to think deeply, to meditate. I'm convinced we give little time to this. And so it's no wonder we often get caught up in pursuing other things. Colossians 3 says, "If you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth." And so, brothers and sisters, set your minds on these things. Think deeply. Second, pray. Pray. We've already seen this. God will answer. He will supply the strength. He enables those who seek Him to find Him. He draws near to those who call upon Him in earnest faith. And so if you are serious about this and want to be more so, then pray. Ask the Lord for this. And third, go to the house of God. Go to His temple, which is the church, His people. Today, where God says He will be in a special and particular way, His living stones, where He has promised His special presence and His care. Long to be with God in worship. We see this in David here in this psalm. If you have little time for worship, little time for the people of God, for the nurture and fellowship of the church, you cannot be really all that serious about seeking God. David sought God in God's ways, in the ordinance of worship in the tabernacle. And think about that. David sought the Lord in a tent with types and shadows, with sacrifices and incense and oil. Brothers and sisters, we don't have a tent. We don't have a stone temple. We have the real thing. We have people purchased with the blood of the Lamb, the once-for-all sacrifice. We come to the risen Jesus We don't come through priests or curtains with bulls or goats. And so how much more ought we to long for the house of God, the dwelling of God? How much more ought we to take time to get into the presence of God with his people? Fourth, realize that there may be other pursuits hindering your pursuit of God. You may need to quit pursuing some things, even good things, or pursue some less, so that this can be your one pursuit, your ultimate pursuit, your highest aim. Count everything else a loss compared to the riches of Christ. This requires honesty. Sometimes it requires help and others coming alongside us. Often it hurts. But what might you be pursuing that is keeping you from pursuing God more fully? And then fifth, remember that this is the greatest, most rewarding and lasting purpose and pursuit that you could ever live for. God is truly beautiful. He is the highest good. He is an infinite well of glory and greatness. And he does not and he cannot disappoint. The pursuit of God truly satisfies and transforms. It leads to life and joy and security because God is real and he is God. His word is true. His gospel is good news. It does save. This doesn't mean that life will be easy, but he truly saves and satisfies. We are made for him. And so don't forget that. Keep him, keep the pursuit and the pleasure of him always before you. As the saying goes, out of sight, out of mind. If you lose sight of the goodness and the glory of God and how satisfying he is and all that he's done for you, you will forget and you'll take your mind off of him and you will not pursue him. And so remember that this pursuit is the greatest thing you could ever live for. God satisfies. You are made for him. Well, so much more could be said. None of this is easy. None of it is quick. And none of us, not even David, will arrive in this life. It's not done on our own or in our own strength. It is by the grace of God. But God does call us to seek him, to pursue him, to draw near to him. And he promises to satisfy and to fulfill and to protect and to give great joy to those who do. He is your light and your salvation. He is your stronghold. This was David's aim, his one purpose, his one prayer, and his one pursuit for God himself. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. And as we close this morning, I want you to consider how this prayer and this pursuit in verse 4 will be fully answered one day. This purpose will be fully realized one day for all believers. Think about it. One day in glory, we will gaze face to face on the beauty of the Lord. 1 John 3, verse 2 says, When he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. Jesus prayed for this in John 17, Father, I desire that they whom you have given me may be with me where I am to see my glory. Jesus prays for exactly what David prayed for, that he could be with God, that we could be with God and see his beauty and glory. And if you're trusting in Jesus and long to see your Savior as David did, Know that that will someday happen very soon. Look forward to that. Some of the last promises that God gave us in his word speak of this coming reality. Revelation 21:3, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God." In Revelation 22, verse 4, they will see his face. Those who ask and seek for God through Christ will have this answer, will have this reward. Do you know this one purpose, this one prayer, this one pursuit will lead to dwelling with God forever? It will lead to gazing upon his unmatched glory forever. This is what David longed for. This is what Christ has made possible by his perfect life and death for sinners. And so live for this one day, this unending day when you will dwell in his house, when you will gaze on his beauty, and make that the one thing you ask for, your one pursuit this coming year and in all the years ahead. Pursue the person and presence of God through Jesus above all else. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we are convicted that so often our hearts and our minds and our eyes are elsewhere. And we ask for so many other things, and we seek after so many other things, when, Lord, we should seek you first and above all else. And so we ask that you would forgive us. We thank you and praise you for the perfect righteousness of Christ, that he perfectly sought you and your glory, and that in him we will have your presence. We will be able to dwell in your house forever. We can see your beauty, and we will see it perfectly and fully one day. Lord, give us a deep longing for this. Help us to pray for these things and to actually pursue this, to pursue you in this life, even amidst all of the trials and temptations. Lord, do this so that we might be satisfied with you and so that you might be glorified through the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we do pray it all in his name. Amen. Well, let's respond to God's word by giving praise to him. And we'll do so with these very words from Psalm 27. Please turn